Today I want to wrap up a brief series that we've been in about real friends. And today my subtitle will be talking about redefining friendships. The last few weeks I've talked about social media and how it's had an impact on our friendships and our communications. How many have ever heard of unfriending? When I typed it into my message, Word did not even recognize it as a word, unfriending. It was like, what's that? And I just do what most of us do when we like our spelling over somebody else's spelling, ignore and leave what I have there. But anyone who's on Facebook, maybe at some point you've had a friend that was annoying. Anybody ever have one of those? Don't tell me. Maybe they posted too much, or they would just go on and on and on about something. And eventually you felt like, and Facebook calls it unfriend them. That's the actual term that they use on Facebook. And has anyone ever had to unfriend somebody? Raise your hand. Don't point at them. Just, yeah. So you have. You've unfriended somebody. Part of my problem with being on Facebook is I really don't mind connecting to people. I just want to connect to them when I want to connect to them, not when they want to connect to me. I go on Facebook and I'm like, I just want to check maybe something out. And everybody's like, hi, you're on Facebook. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not really. Facebook, though, I believe, along with other social medias, they have a lot of great value. And it can add to our relationships with one another. But I think unintentionally, in ways, it could be changing the way we look at our friends, or even the term friend. I don't know how many Facebook friends you have. I looked yesterday. I have 810 Facebook friends. Like it means anything. You could have 300 Facebook friends, but you probably don't have 300 close friends. But just the thought that I could unfriend 810 people, that I could distance myself from 810 people, it kind of cheapens the term what a friend should be. So rather than unfriending this morning, which I believe would be displeasing to God, I don't believe we need to unfriend people. But I need to talk to you about, maybe not unfriending, but I need to talk to you about redefining friendships this morning. In fact, for us who are committed followers of Christ, I would say that redefining friendships is necessary at different seasons of our lives. To redefine certain relationships allows us to walk the right path in life. Because as I've been talking to you, if you show me your friends, what have I said? I will show you your future. The people we hang around determine what we will be like. Solomon in Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and you become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Would you quote that with me? Proverbs 13:20. It reads, walk with the wise and you become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Heavenly Father, your word is vibrant. It is living. It is active. As I prayed even last week, I want to be more than a hearer. I want to be a doer of your word. But Lord, help me learn how to activate this properly. So, Lord, I become wise and don't become harmed by foolish relationships. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody in agreement with that, would you say amen? Amen. You want to be wise. When you think back over the course of your life, or at least when I think back over the course of my life, chances are pretty good that most of the time when you got in trouble, you didn't get in trouble alone. In fact, almost every time I got in big trouble, someone else was involved with me. And they were called my friends. Me and two other guys in high school, we broke the 50-gallon fish tank that was in the science lab. It started when we were just kind of pushing each other around a little bit. We were just playing and never had any intention of doing any harm. And then one of the guys fell against the fish tank and crashed, went into pieces. We spent some time in the, my girl called me the other day. She said, I got on the dean's list. I said, that's better than the principal's office. I spent a few times there. When I was 8 years old, I remember being coerced by my so-called friends to shoplift with them. It was at a nearby mom and pop's little grocery store, and I went in, of course, and I was fighting my moral upbringing. Don't take anything that doesn't belong to you. And then my friend saying, it's nothing, they'll never miss it. So I gave in to my friends that day. And I stole a pack of Kool-Aid. I've told you about this before. It was flat. It fits in the back pocket. Can't even see it. You can walk out of the store with it and hardly anybody will notice. So I stole my first item. I thank God it was my last item because the Holy Spirit arrested my heart that day. Proverbs 12, verse 26 tells us this. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. It's about your friends, people. The righteous choose their friends carefully. I cannot say that I have always done this well, but it's something we're all challenged to do in life. Something we all need to know is that we are going to meet people by chance, but we deepen our friendships by choice. Can you say that with me? We meet people by chance, but we deepen our friendships by choice. So we need to choose our friends carefully. Amen? Proverbs 22:24 tells us, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. There's all kinds of scriptures in the Word of God that help us to make the right choices when we're choosing friends. And how many believe we ought to listen to God's Word, take heed, and put it into action? Amen. A thought that I've used for the last few weeks is this thought, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Another key thought I'd like for you to lock your heart in on this morning is this thought. It is impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Can you say that? It is impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. It's absolutely impossible over the course of your life to have to live this God-honoring life when you do not have God-honoring friends. In fact, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I thought, well, we've got good character. That should hang in there. Why do you think Paul said, do not be misled? I'll tell you why, because it's easy to be misled. It's easy to be deceived. You cannot live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Bad company corrupts good character. So all of us need to stay away from people who tempt us to stray from God. How did Jesus do this? You know, he was known as a friend of, what's the Bible tell us? A friend of sinners. How do you stay away from sinners or engage sinners and tell them the truth about life? Well, aren't we told to go into all the world and make disciples? And we're told to let your light so shine before men? Are we to avoid people who are going to run us away from God? Or should we reach out to those people? And the answer to both questions is yes. In fact, there's this tension in life that we're going to have to embrace as Christians. We have to be careful not to let wrong influences push us away from God when we are called to share Jesus with people. But at the same time, we have to be careful to not let our hearts be influenced negatively by a world that does not know Jesus. How do you resolve this tension? Part of it will never go away, and you need to understand that, but I believe at the foundation of this teaching is this principle. If you are a committed follower of Christ, those people that are in your inner circle of those friends, say 3 to 8 people, those who will influence you the most must also be committed followers of Christ. The principle is believers need an inner circle of believers who influence them. Because that's where you're going to get your strength. That's where you're going to get your encouragement from. That's where people are going to love you and they're going to correct you. These are the people who are going to leave an impact on your life. When you're grounded with good friendships, then you can go into the dark world and let your light so shine. But when your inner circle is made up of the wrong voices in your head, then you might go out in the world and try to shine, but you'll probably flicker and may even end up snuffed out. Jesus, of course, is our greatest example in every area of how we do life. And if you watch his life, you will notice that he loved everyone equally. But he didn't treat everyone equally. Did you hear me? He loved everyone the same, unconditionally, but he did not treat everyone equally. For instance, he only recruited 12 disciples. He didn't recruit 15. He didn't recruit 25 or 70. He recruited 12. And he spent more time with 3 of them than the other 9. He loved them all equally, but he did not treat them equally. He loved the Pharisees, but he could not trust the Pharisees. Though he loved them, he kept them at arm's length. Because you cannot live the right life with the wrong friends. Now I know what some of you are saying. Okay, I think I get it. If my friends are knocking off banks, and my friends are in organized crime, and my friends are cooking meth in their kitchen and selling it to 5th graders, I probably need a different set of friends. And if that's what you're thinking this morning, you're absolutely correct. But chances are that's not the case with most of us in this room this morning. For us that are here, there's probably a good chance, though, that some of your influences may need redefining. You could have some negative people around you in your life, maybe who criticize everything. And every time you're around them, you're becoming less of who God wants you to be because you find yourself becoming critical like them. It could be that maybe some of you in here this morning have friends maybe that are tempting you to do things that are not honoring to God. And you may need to redefine those friendships. It could be that some of you here have friends that introduce you to values that are opposed to the values of God. And you simply need to redefine your friendships. You cannot let everyone be in your inner circle. Proverbs 12:26 again. The righteous choose their friends carefully. This morning, I want to give you 2 things that we will not let our friends do. And then I want to end with 1 commitment that we need to keep, okay? First thing that we do not need to let our friends do is this. 1, I will not let my friends distract me from God's plan. Can you say that with me? I will not let my friends distract me from God's plan. In fact, this is what Jesus had to deal with Peter, who was one of the inner circle of 3. At one time, Peter, this really close friend of Jesus, had good intentions, and he thought he was doing the right thing, but he tried to talk Jesus out of God's plan. Jesus was explaining in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, that he had to die. Here it is, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And Peter was like, No. No, we got plans for you. You can't die. I mean, you're going to be king, and to be king, you got to stay alive. In fact, here's Peter's response in verse 22. Peter took him aside, talking about Jesus, and began to rebuke him. This is a really good friend. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." So what did Jesus say in response to Peter's well-intentioned distraction? Verse 23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Listen to me for a moment. If you ever need to make a point with your so-called friends, just call them Satan. And they will know you're serious. But let me make it clear, never, ever call your mother-in-law that, okay? Okay. All right, back to Jesus and Peter. Wow, how easily distracted we are. Jesus tells Peter, "You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, the concerns of God." And he says, "I'm not going to let you distract me from God's plan." Jesus had to redefine the relationship. How does this play out for us in real life? Well, maybe you have some friends that tell you something like this. "Well, you don't really need to go to church. I mean, you went last week, and you go all the time." You might need to tell them, "No, I can't let you distract me from God's plan in my life. The Lord tells me, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And maybe God wants to speak to me this week." And they had good intentions. Let's go do this or let's do that. Maybe great intentions, but they might be trying to pull you from God's plan in your life. And if you have friends that are pulling on you that way, I'm telling you, you need to redefine those relationships. A lot of the time, like I said, they're well-meaning. They got great intentions, but they don't know God's plan for your life. So number one, I will not let my friends distract me from God's plan. Number two, would you say this with me? I will not let my friends continually tempt me to sin. Say it again. I will not let my friends continually tempt me to sin. A great example of this in the Bible is the character of Joseph in the Old Testament. He was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, but he had such integrity that he found favor even as a slave with his new master named Potiphar. But at the same time, he found favor in Potiphar's wife's eyes also, because she took a liking to Joseph and she made a move on him. It's recorded in Genesis 39, verse 12. She came, grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on, sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. Did you notice how Joseph did not stick around? He didn't stick around and say, hey, sister, we need to pray about this. Or he didn't even say, "Well, let me, Lord, is this okay?" He already knew better. And he didn't stay around that which would tempt him. There are times when you and I will have to redefine a relationship with a friend that way. I don't know again how that may play out for you, but let's say all your friends gossip, 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 gossip. How many of you know that gossiping is wrong? What about the rest of you? I mean, I know sometimes you feel like I'm going to get caught if I raise my hand. By the way, gossiping, speaking about others in a truthful or untruthful way that would talk about them in a demeaning way is gossip, and the Bible says it's wrong. How many know gossiping is wrong? All right, a little better. It's a few of you. If I said raise your foot, that might be a different issue for some of you. Some of you just got that. Yeah. If people are gossiping around you, you need to say, I'm not hanging around you. I'm out of the house. You have to redefine those friendships. Ladies, if your girlfriends are always trash-talking men, oh, they're a bunch of no-good people, and you can't trust them, and you can't shoot them. You can hate them. Whatever it is they're saying, ladies, it will not improve your marriage if you hang around that kind of talk. You need to tell them, listen, I'm going to honor the men in my life, and we're going to speak well of them. If not, I'm walking out the door. Guys, if all your buddies and all they can do is talk about the hot chicks that are out there, ooh-wee, did you see her? She's fine. Come on, guys. You know what's said in the workplaces. What you need to say is, I have a wife at home and I have eyes for nobody else. And if that's the way you're going to think about it, you're going to talk about women, then I'm out of here. Men, we need to step it up. Amen? Women, we need to step it up. Amen? I know some of you are saying, well, this doesn't really happen around Christian brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. There are too many so-called Christians that flirt too much with these things. And if they flirt long enough with them, they're going to get caught up in it. And it will end up destroying you and your family. Stay away from it. Redefine friendships if need be. Maybe it's some of your friends whose morals and values are not the same as yours. Church, you need to know and determine what your morals and values are by the Word of God, and do not cross that line. There will be some friends who will entice you to cross over the line. They'll believe and tell you the whole time, it's okay. But church, it may be time to redefine some of your so-called friendships. Number one, say this with me again. I will not let my friends distract me from God's plan. Number two, I will not let my friends continually tempt me to sin. Lastly, one thing we need to do though. One thing we will do. And that's this. I will never stop loving people with the unconditional love of Christ. Say that with me. I will never stop loving people with the unconditional love of Christ. The worst thing that could happen this morning is that some of you hear this message and you kind of walk out thinking, I know my friends, and I'm a little holier than thou, because I know who my friends are. And while those sinners are out there doing those sinful things, I'm shining my halo. Church, that's not who we are. Did you notice Jesus never unfriended sinners? He befriended them. There are some things that we will not do with our friends, but there is a commitment that we will do and have to do, and that is to love the people of this world. It's time for the church to stop judging people that are not Christians for not acting like Christians. We look at the world and we judge them according to Christian standards instead of according to sin. And you go, well, you're not doing the right thing. No, they're doing the wrong thing. But they need to be loved. They need a friend. Now, I'll end and talk a little more about that at the end. But these people didn't sign up for Christianity yet. It doesn't mean you accept what they do, but you love them with grace and truth in the midst of where they're at. You're going to have to live with this tension in your life. Go into all the world, but don't let the world distract you. Go into all the world, but don't be disrupted by it. Go into all the world, but don't be distracted by it. There are times that we will draw the line in the sand, times when you will have to redefine friendships because maybe old friends are not walking where you're walking. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and you become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. This morning, the first thing you need to do is define who you're going to walk with. Are you going to walk with God or are you going to walk with the world? I'll tell you, the world is enticing, but it's temporal and it's foolish. But I'll tell you, God is exciting. He is eternal and he is foolproof if we'll walk in him. Choose this day whom you will serve. That is an important standard we need to put in our life. Because if we choose Jesus, he will be a friend that will stick closer than a brother. And we need that in our life. And you need to let the Holy Spirit help you redefine maybe some friendships as needed now in your life. Who is going to be in your inner circle? So that you can be wise in every step of your life. Pastor Matt, would you come? This morning, there's this tension of, I want to be a friend to everybody. And church, let me tell you, if you're a friend of God, you can be a friend of sinners. You do not need to exclude anyone. You can be the friend. But it doesn't mean that they're your inner circle friend. It's a tension. It's like, I want to love people, but I don't want to be around them because of what they do. And you get a guard in your life, and there's times you leave the house because you have to define the activity. See, so many times, I don't know how many of you watch shows and read drama books and all the romance stuff that's out there. Do you know what the one major problem in every movie and every book is? Lack of communication. I'll sit watching things with my girls. I'm like, and they're like, man, if they would just speak up, just say what you need to say. And church, that's the way we're going to have to live in the world. We know what truth is. And somehow we've backed off of that because we're afraid we'll lose friends. Maybe they just don't need to be your inner circle friends. Maybe you need to choose your friends carefully. But you can be a friend. You can step into their world and be a part of their inner circle. People speaking into their lives and helping them. Because without you, they may continue to be lost. This morning, there are several things that we do here at church. One is the salvation of the lost. These three I heard about from last Sunday. Thank the Lord that they believe God's not dead. Surely he's alive. And making that proclamation and declaration in their life. And this morning, maybe that's you. Maybe you've never made that declaration that I really believe that God is real. He died on the cross and he loved me with an everlasting love. And he is coming back, church. Today, you may need his salvation. Maybe this morning it's more of a rededication. Maybe you've allowed friends to pull on you too much and have pulled you back into the world. You need to redefine who's your first friend. And then redefine the relationships, but rededicate your life to Jesus. And you need to do that. Maybe there's some of us in here this morning, and maybe most of us. Maybe we just need to reaffirm that this morning. See, I make my reaffirmation every morning with the Lord. I ask Him, Lord, walk with me, forgive me, lead me, guide me. I can't do this alone. I have been stir crazy over the last 3 weeks. I'm like, I hate this. But I'm like, God, if you want to speak to me, and now that I'm kind of in the next part of this, I want to allow God time to just speak into my life. Maybe He's slowing me down for some reason. I want to lead this church well, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You need to choose your friends carefully. And maybe you need to reaffirm like you've never reaffirmed before. Maybe you've said, I'm a Christian. But maybe you need to reaffirm that every day as you walk those friendships out. Would you bow your head for just a moment? Maybe you're in the room and you need Jesus for the very first time in your life. Balcony or main floor, would you just lift your hand? And I want to pray with you this morning. You're not going to be the only group, but maybe you're here this morning and I don't know you and you've never made that commitment. But you want Jesus. You want to believe in Him and what He did for you. I don't see any hands. Let me move to the next category. Maybe you're one of those that you need to rededicate, though. You've allowed stuff to slip into your life, friends to be there influencing you the wrong ways, and it's time to redefine some friendships, and you want to rededicate your life today. Yes, sir. Is there anyone else? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. We want to rededicate. It's not a first time, but it's, I got to come back. I got to redefine. Let me ask this, though. It's been real, real subtle in your life, but you know that you need to reaffirm today that Jesus is your best friend. Is that you this morning? Yeah. Yeah. I just need to reaffirm that because I need to reaffirm that because I don't want to walk this thing alone. Heavenly Father, this morning, we sit here. And we sit here, most of us, as believers this day because we believe you died and you rose again. That is unquestionable. We know that. But God, your word is teaching us and instructing us to be careful about choosing our friends. And for those this morning who raise their hands to rededicate this morning and to reaffirm, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they will settle in their hearts who they will choose to be their friends. But Lord, I pray for all of us today that we do not have exclusive friends. But Lord, we know who those who we allow to speak into our lives. But Lord, help us to be a friend to the sinner today. Help us to love them unconditionally. But Lord, we will not let friends entice us to away from God's plans. We will not let them tempt us to sin, but I will love unconditionally everyone in this world. God, help us to walk that firmly and faithfully in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement, would you say with me, amen.